Welcome to the Horse Connection podcast with Natasha Albert and Emma Beasley, where we will be exploring how we can create harmonious partnerships with horses. We'll chat about building our emotional intelligence and practicing holistic horsemanship with horses as our guides. So if you're looking for authentic connection to yourself and horses, this is the place for you. Let's get started. So today we're going to be talking about what role does leadership play in our relationship with ourselves and horses. And leadership is such an interesting and complex topic because it's about self-leadership within ourselves, but also looking at horses and herd dynamics and how they lead themselves in a herd, which is something that we're going to explore in a bit more detail today.
Yeah, it's something that I find so fascinating. And I think some ideas of leadership that maybe come from more of a human thinking, human standpoint, can actually, when we try and pick that up and stick it into a container where we're training horses or training humans with their horses, it can really cause some confusion and cause some responses from the horses that maybe we weren't looking for. Because I think actually some of the ideas that we have sometimes about that idea of needing to control something, you know, needing to dominate over something, it can really just not align with a horse's natural way of being.
I think it, you know, it's really important to really understand effectively the what it means when we talk about roles of leadership. So, you know, I teach leadership programs, and one of the things that's really fascinating is how horses can teach us about social intelligence and how the idea of consensual leadership really shows up so prominently. And what consensual leadership means is really recognizing each horse's and person's individual skill set. And what that means is, you know, what do you bring individually to the herd, to the team, to your community, to your family? So when you look at horses, it's not about, you know, one horse has got complete control or leadership over all the other horses. Each horse has got something very unique and individual to bring to the herd, and that's how horses have been able to thrive and survive through, you know, such an expansive time frame. For example, you know, if I look out to my herd, you know, I've got nurturer carers in there, there's, you know, some horses, they take turns so that they can see, you know, be more watchful while the others sleep. There's like, you know, some horses have more tendencies to problem solve and, you know, watch out for like grazing resources. You know, some horses have more dominant tendencies, and even like predatory power. And, you know, sometimes that can be quite like alarming to hear, like, you know, how do, you know, horses express like dominance, predatory power, you know, really quite intense things. But it's really about looking at how we can manage all of those different roles within ourselves and not go into the more destructive lines of thought, really looking at, you know,
it's collaboration, isn't it?
You know, looking at how we can go into like the positives of it. For example, you know, with some horses, if you put a pile of hay out, you might have seen this, you know, perhaps one horse might herd all the others off it and then eat first. And that's really kind of going into like predatory power, which is like saying I need to like see what resources I've got and really manage them effectively. So it's like reframing you know, how we look at things as well. And, you know, as a mum, you might say, right, everyone just, I just need to like assess the situation first and then we can all come into it. Mm. You know, so it's like looking at, you know, what strengths do each person or each horse have, and how we can all kind of work together in a team or a community or a herd.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's something that's so important to bring into our time with horses if we're trying to train them or develop a relationship with them, really. You know, there's a lot of studies been done now on looking at herds of horses, and actually, you know, some really strong evidence now that there isn't that kind of, we always thought there was like this herd leader, and it doesn't seem to be there. It doesn't, you know, the studies that have been done show this idea of collaboration, show this idea of people having their own skills within, well, not just people, sorry, horses as well, having their own skills within their herd. You know, and as a prey animal, that ability to collaborate together is crucial. That's what's going to keep you alive. So I think when we start to approach our horses in a mindful way of that natural rhythm that they have, it can really help open up a different way to communicate with our horses. So, you know, rather than thinking of this is sort of very much a human thing of, I must get control, because otherwise if I don't have control, then everything's going to unravel.
Yeah.
And I think if you can reframe control for, you know, collaboration,
yeah,
and you know, that sense of rather than trying to dominate, trying to find a connection with your horse, where you work together, I think you open up a window to have a much better conversation with them. And
absolutely, I think, you know, sometimes it's to do with also looking at like the language that we use. Like, I think you hit the nail on the head when it's to do with like control, because it's not really about, you know, one horse controlling everyone else. You know, when I'm teaching people about consensual leadership, it's about, there might be a horse that leads the other horses to grazing pasture, and that might be called, like, you know, one horse leading, for example. Mm. Or there might be another horse that's a bit more, got more dominant tendencies. So, for example, sometimes you'll see one horse herd the other horses to fit particular like safe zones, or, you know, another horse might like assess things, or like, even like snap at the others to say, like, wake up, or, you know, one of my horses might bite one of the other horses on the bum to say, you know, we've got to keep together.
Mm.
And it might be out of the blue, and you might think, oh gosh, you know, actually that feels a bit like predatory. You know, they've just snapped at that person or that horse. They've like got them out of the blue, or they've said, no, you can't eat that hay, first of all. I'm going to like assess it, and I need it first, and then I will watch you while you all eat and have my turn. So it's sometimes it's like to do with how we're like labeling things as well. But I think, you know, overall it comes down to, it's not like there's a head honcho like a CEO. It's like everyone's got a different role that can be respected, and like those kind of conventional roles of like one CEO kind of has control over everyone, and they're all kind of put in their place and they can't move out of that. The amazing thing about horses is that they're always calling each other up on their skill set. You know, they're always testing or checking in with each other, like, are you up to doing that today? Or if there's a poorly horse, or there's a horse that's not feeling up to it, you know, they might take over some of that kind of role a bit more as well, like be more of a watchful member, or, you know, check in. So, you know, they're always constantly reassessing their skill set as well, and, you know, that's something that we can do as well.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
As we get different experience and on different days that we might not be feeling up to it, you know, that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a sort of an environmental piece to thinking about horses as well, because obviously it's, you know, particularly in this country, it's very difficult to have your horse in a way the way you can get turnout as well. So you know, and I think a lot of that idea of, you know, how horses are is restricted for us because it's unusual to be able to see them in a herd, isn't it? In how a lot of horses are kept. So, yeah, it's...
But also you can look at, like, what's your horse's characteristics? What are their traits? And what are your characteristics or traits? You know, do you have certain tendencies or certain particular skill sets? And, you know, looking at, like, the challenges of that, but also, like, the gifts of that as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if, from a training perspective, I think that there's different levels, isn't there, depending on what you want to do. If you're wanting to explore ridden work or liberty work or, you know, ground work, is that sense of training from a place where you're not trying to dominate or control or send the horse away from you, you know, that actually... For me, with my own horses, actually, you know, not just from a coaching perspective, but when you release that traditional role of human control leadership, mm-hmm. the things you were just yeah. talking to, and you start to respect the horse's need for space, need for being a prey animal, all the things that go with being a prey animal, and draw awareness to those, and then find a way of, you know, maybe asking more of a question rather than you will do this. Mm. Is this something that you can maybe think about doing? Is, you know, can we find, if it doesn't work this way, could we try this way? Could we try that way? I think you become, and it just made me think of this when you said about a CEO, you then become someone that you actually want to be with. If you're working for someone and I have worked for bosses like this, where they're, you know, you need to do this, yeah, and this. Yeah. You instantly, you know, you don't feel like you want to be with that person, do you? No. You don't want to be in that it's energy. Not,
it
you don't
it stops be... being about partnership and yeah. it becomes about control.
Yeah.
And half a turn animal, you cannot control it.
No.
You can't control it any way, any which way.
Yeah.
From my own perspective, even with different bits and bobs and aids and things, it's, it really comes down to the partnership that you have with your horse, the relationship.
Yeah.
So,
and I think you can understand, you know, you start to then ask the right questions from that mindset, that perspective. When you put yourself there, you then start to ask, you know, why does my horse find that difficult?
Yeah.
Is that about a training issue? Is it a pain issue? Is it? Maybe it is because they're not in a herd, you know, and they've, you know, that there is a need not being met there, and that's affecting how they're thinking.
Absolutely. It's having a relationship, getting to know them. You know, I can see, like, one of my horses, he's, you know, he will, like, really, like, nap a lot because, you know, that's something, you know, he's had various experiences and... that's, like, kind of led to that. He's very, very herd bound. Whereas, like, another of my horses, you know, he's very kind of brave and gutsy. And he's very, like, yeah, let's go out exploring. I can't actually ride him. That's Jack, actually. But he's really kind of, like, and he takes care of the whole herd. So they've got such, like, different personalities. And it's getting to know, like, oh, okay, like, one horse might need a bit more support in a different way. And, you know... what kind of support do I need in a different way as well, you know, because we're all different, and how can I lead myself to actually be open to taking on these things as well, because at the end of the day we're just leading ourselves.
I like that idea of leading yourself.
It's about like self-leadership, trying to control others and looking at things as like little bits of conversation with the horse as well. Like we were talking about, you know, lunging and cantering round and round and round, and, you know, just opening like space for conversation. So we might do like, I don't know, a few meters of like trot or something, and then assessing like, oh, okay, what's going on here? Like, how am I feeling about it? How's the horse feeling about it? Letting them have time and space,
opinion. I always think as a human as well, and I'm constantly reminding myself of this with my horses, is that sense of, you know, if I think I'm going slowly, slow down a bit more, because I think that whole leadership thing and the control thing is like, it, you know, it must be done now. And so I think that opening of space idea, and then that you're, rather than that being in that space where you're chasing a horse or another human away from you with that domineering way, you then open the space back up for them to go away, think about things, and then want to come back to you, rather than that feeling of like, of okay, if I just stop now, that pressure, that domineering feeling is going to go away. So you're responding to something because you want it to go away, not because you want to come back with it. Does that make sense?
It's setting yourself like little goals that mean something to you and the horse, and like respecting like conversation with the horse, rather than just saying, right, we're just going to go in to the arena and we're just going to go round and round and round and round on a lunge because it's to do with exercise, rather than, you know, how can I like reframe that in partnership with my horse? Can we still have exercise together but do something that's more engaging and connecting together, where rather than like the horse kind of just zoning out, we're just going round and round and round and round, and we're both like zoning out,
just a thing.
So, you know, what can you do that's much more in connection together? Even if you have to stop, like do like one circle of walk or one circle of trot, and then stop and then think, right, are we connected? How am I feeling? How's the horse feeling? And it can just be like a few seconds or 5 seconds. It doesn't have to be this kind of spinning thing where you just go into like a robotic mode for things. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, totally. I think it's reframing that idea of leadership being about collaboration rather than power over, isn't it? And if you think about it in that way, it just, whether you're in relationship with another human being or a horse or any animal really, I think that just changes the whole way you approach your interactions with them.
Absolutely. I think, you know, a massive takeaway is we can never control others. We can't control the horse. We can only control ourselves, and that is leading ourselves. And respecting how horses lead themselves, and, you know, building a relationship on that basis.
I think if you have the respect of another being to be able to collaborate with them rather than dominate over them, it completely changes the whole dynamic of how that relationship's going to start to form. Great. I love this conversation.
So thanks so much. It's been such a great conversation, and we really appreciate all your likes, shares, and we're really interested in your feedback. So if you can leave us a comment, that would be amazing. And if you've got any other topics that you'd like us to explore, please, please leave your feedback, because we're really, really excited to hear from you.
Thank you for listening to the Horse Connection podcast. We've really loved having you here. For ridden and groundwork coaching, connect with Emma on socials at Another Way Equestrian. For therapeutic horsemanship and emotional coaching, connect with Natasha at naturalwithhorses.com. So until next time, may the spirit of the horse be with you.